Found this in Ganner room.
Ganner near me.
What is it?
Well, it's,
That's it. I missed. I died. I was pierced until I realized that. I died in battle, baby.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is the muse,
Aaron O'Brien. Why are there so many shows about Klingons, and why do they want to die? Klingons aren't human, but in Reunion, we saw young Alexander cry. What's so amazing that keeps Worf's eyes a-blazing? And what does he hope he might be? Someday he'll find it, the Klingon connection, the Batless, the Bloodwine, and me. There you go. I wrote that today.
the things we come up with when we love Star Trek.
I just had that one going in my head all day.
And it's Aaron O'Gorkon.
O'Gorkon.
The muse. I didn't know Gorkon sing. Maybe he would have gotten peace better with the Federation if he had sung a little bit.
I don't get any respect in the Klingon community, just put it that way. My life is a constant Kobayashi Maru. Anyway.
I don't think Klingons would get that reference.
No, they wouldn't.
Oh, I think I heard Faith laughing.
And we have somebody who came back to us.
Oh, she was abducted by Ferengi. Like, two episodes ago, we heard the communications, like, get interrupted, and then we noticed...
She was boarded, and the screen went black. We don't know what happened. We can only...
Our view screen went out. It was bad.
We can only guess that there was some dirty work afoot, so... What do you think happened, Dave?
Yeah, I think, it looked like a Ferengi ship, so it looks like there was, I assume, slave traders to try to get all the profit off the ship, like we saw in Enterprise.
Right.
And I assume, since Faith was a female, she got beamed up without her clothes on.
Oh, is that what you think happened?
And then made to perform
umats. You think Faith will allow that to happen?
I mean, if you're forcefully boarded.
Yeah, the screaming that you heard could have been them.
Yeah, that's true. Faith Hertzberg.
We didn't hear any screaming. The sound just
cut out.
Faith, we lost everything.
Faith Hertzberg,
your transmissions were...
please tell us, inform us,
jammed.
What happened to you and our when you went offline.
We definitely hope you're okay, though.
Yes, and we hope you have your clothes.
Thanks to somebody drinking all the synthahol, we had to do the run earlier than usual, and I wouldn't have run into these guys if we hadn't had to do that in the first place. David.
Mm. What? I didn't drink that much.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Oh
yeah,
my,
no. From my ship to somebody else's ship, and I'm being told that I don't get to have any of my clothing, which David did get correct.
Uh-oh.
It's Ferengi. It's kind of predictable.
Well, they were expecting it to be predictable.
This is getting sexy.
Uh-oh.
No, it didn't go as well as they would have hoped, unfortunately for them, you know.
So did the Daemon try to keep you for himself?
Well, no, he actually tried to give me away for free.
What? No, there's no profit in that.
Well, when you're threatening to punch him in the ears and you're saying things about his mother giving away money to charities because she feels like it, they tend to not want you around for very long.
The charitable Ferengi is a huge dishonor.
Screaming it at the top of your lungs and threatening to do harm to their ears just tends to make them want to go as far away from you as possible, yeah. And there is no value, apparently, in a person like that.
So they didn't force you to do umaks?
Nope.
Let you go, huh?
You were threatening to do hard umaks, like S&M umaks with the fist punching?
Oh, man.
Teeth, claws, fists, nearest piece of trash. Didn't care. So whatever they gave me.
So you got off from them, and then that was it.
So what took so long
to... They ditched me at a trading post, which kind of sucked.
So is that what took you so long to come back?
Well, you know, getting thrown out of an airlock at a place that you don't really know that's surrounded by Klingons doesn't really go very well.
I can only imagine.
Oh, so you had to run in with Klingons.
Well, it does explain the condition and being dropped off. Which I do apologize. I'm sorry. I do not remember what happened when I arrived, but I do remember the headache.
It was all that blood wine you had to, and sing those those old songs of yore with the Klingons to get them in, to actually give you some honor. Obviously, my songs are cutting it with them.
You know, actually, you sound about on par with several of them. When they've been in their cups for a while, man, they get impressive. Like, it is just, you know, you would expect after a few hours of doing this, not to mention days, that they wouldn't be able to speak. But, you know, I guess that explains the language.
So did you hear any Klingons freestyle or ad?
When it gets to be about 3 o'clock in the morning and everybody's been drinking blood wine for about 10 hours, everything's freestyle.
You know, I wonder if in the JJ verse they would have like a hip hop.
They'd have a piercing off.
Yeah, but I wonder if they have like hip hop songs.
Klingon karaoke.
Hip hop songs for Klingon, since it was supposed to be the young hip version of everything. Instead of singing battle songs,
they just they sing piercing songs about all their piercings and tattoos they get. My ridges have 62 piercings. How about yours?
I have a Prince Albert.
I have 32 scars, 12 piercings in this area.
Well, welcome back, Faith. Again, we are still talking about Klingons. It's been a nonstop Klingon festival.
This is the month of Klingons, guys.
Yes. Our Klingon tank is getting quite full.
Instead of Christmas in July, it's Klingons in July.
Hey, that's the best way to be. That is a party for Independence Day that you cannot deny.
That's right.
Oh, lots of fireworks of like exploding ships that are getting reused footage between two movies.
It's just them blowing up a small moon. So happy 4th to everyone. A couple things that happened in the interim between our last episode. We have the Captain Pike
teaser trailer.
Teaser trailer.
It looks awesome. It's only like 20 seconds long. And
I'll just give you a little tickle to make you interested.
Oh, yeah. And the effects look great.
A little wink.
Captain Pike's ship looks all messed up from the inside. He's all sweaty, and he's like, oh, no. We gotta kill him.
Someone turn on the air conditioning.
It's not like supposed to be Stobocor in here.
And we have...
I think the only thing that makes me sad in the trailer is that I think it confirms the existence of Cybok. Because...
they don't come straight out and say it.
Well, it's Spock's niece, and we don't know of Spock having any other siblings.
Right.
Kirk said, you don't have a brother.
You don't have a brother. He could have had a sister.
Well, I mean, as far as we know, he didn't have his from his human mother and Sarek. But this was a different marriage.
Right.
That produced Cybok.
Right. When Sarek went out wandering.
It's when he pung-farred before he became... before he became Earth's ambassador. He pung-farred on a...
Everybody pung-far tonight.
He pung-farred on an actual Vulcan.
I was on Earth. I was lonely. I pung-farring. My fingers were horny.
My fingers were throbbing.
Oh man!
Oh wow!
She was actually his wife. Was actually just did. She did nails.
Oh no!
Did not know what she was getting into.
The first two nails.
She had no idea what she's getting into. Oh. He's like, oh, I came in here to get my nails done. He's like, oh my god, that feels so amazing.
Don't even go to my middle finger. Just go to the other hand.
How come your fingers get bigger when I touch them? They're dick fingers. Sort of like E.T. Anyways.
Except they don't glow on Vulcan. Yeah, they might. Thank goodness.
They might if you stroke them.
Catch up on the right thing.
So Captain Pike teaser trailer is really awesome. Somehow we got talking about fingers. Finger banging or whatever it is.
And then we also have news. Star Trek Beyond
Idris Elba is confirmed as a cast member.
Which we already knew.
Thank goodness, because they've started filming.
Hey, man, you going to show up or what?
You're a little late.
Are you going to be part of the show, please? Please? Yeah. We need a villain?
He's going to be a great addition. I hope he... I don't know what he's going to play. I'm assuming he's probably a villain, but...
I hope he gets to do a long speech like he did in Pacific Rim.
Yeah, Pacific Rim?
Yes, it's the specific one.
It's that one.
It's that one.
Yeah,
because there was Atlantic Rim that came out before Pacific Rim came out.
I do know they want to make another one of that movie, too, so...
Yes.
So cool. So we got some wheels in motion. Some good things happening, at least.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So back to Klingons.
Klingons.
News is over. Faith is back. Klingons.
So we left off. We talked about last episode. We talked about Next Generation and the original series movies. Now we're moving on to Deep Space Nine.
And there's lots of Klingons in Deep Space Nine.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize there were so many Klingons. It's been a long time since I've seen some of these episodes. I forgot. There's things I didn't realize I will talk about. And I was like, wow, I didn't. Because we've been focusing so much on these Klingons, I'm like, I'm really in tune to them now.
The chakra is one with the Klingon.
Right.
I was surprised at how many episodes were Klingon episodes. It kind of brought that whole, there's Klingons on the starboard bow.
And again, we are trying to focus on the culture of the Klingons more than the specifics of everything that happens in the episode.
Right.
Trying to find things that give us more insight into the Klingon culture in general. And you know, with the Next Generation, we didn't go over all the Klingon episodes because stories about Klingons doesn't necessarily mean Klingon history or Klingon culture. And so we were trying to definitely pick episodes that are more into that.
Right.
So the first one we did was Blood Oath.
Blood Oath, yes. This is one of the things I didn't realize because when I saw it, I saw it way back when, but then when I rewatched it years ago, too, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I didn't realize that these are the actual original Klingons from the original.
Kang, Koloff, and Kor.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
The
original actors and the original commanders, captains, or generals, whatever the title they held in the original series. So Aaron of Mercy, Day of the Dove, and...
Trouble of Tribbles,
exactly. Yeah. It's pretty cool. The only thing that leaves my scratching my head is how did they get their Klingon ridges and hair back?
Well, Dr. Phlox said, you know, maybe there'll be, you know, surgeries to get your head back, and you know, maybe in between the original series and between the original series and the original series movies, they'd of course come up with the medicine to reverse the anti-ridge stuff,
right?
Because we saw in their motion picture and Star Trek III, Klingons had fancy ridges on their face,
right?
And bad teeth.
Very bad teeth. I'm going to throw this out just because this is probably the only place I can put it right now, is that long time ago, like the 80s, so there was a tabletop role-playing game called... For Star Trek from FASA, and it was a pretty cool game. I had like all the modules, and there was one on Klingons, and they actually discussed... This is obviously before Enterprise ever came out, and this is like Next Generation was on at the time.
Yeah.
And they discussed that they had genetically altered the human Klingons so they could interact and like maybe infiltrate better the humans' establishments more. It was an interesting take on it because that was like that was the only explanation that made any sense to me. And they said that they did the same thing for Romulans too. Now, obviously, that was not canon, but. It made sense in some ways that you could...
Not exactly, because in Trouble with Tribbles, they did disguise the guy that looked like human.
The only reason they found him out is because they had a tribble. So, but anyway, so Blood Oath. We got these the three troublemakers from the original series are back.
And this time, they're not as troublemaky?
Well, they're older now. They're much older.
Older and wiser.
Older and wiser.
Older and wiser. Wiser is seasoned.
Never applies to them.
I love Kang, Koloff, and Kor in this episode. I especially like Kor, although I feel like the personalities of Kor and Koloff switched in between the original series episodes and this episode, because In Trouble with Tribbles, Koloth is kind of like almost jovial, like, you know, when he's dealing with the Federation, he's like, oh, like almost condescending and kind of laughing at them.
Yeah.
Like a little bit more smiley on his face. Whereas Kor was very just like cold and calculating.
Well, Kor was very like diabolical in his own way. Now he's turned into this more.
Now he's like jovial and drunk all the time and womanizing like a good Klingon.
Yes. And then Kang is kind of the same guy as from Day of the Dove.
Kang
is exactly the same as he was in Day of the Dove. Dry and boring
as
hell.
He seems a bit more rigid.
Yeah, yeah.
The stick got shoved a little further out.
So he keeps sitting down and it just wiggles its way deeper.
So the issue is that they that Dax, obviously her former form,
Curzon,
was great friends with Kang and the other with Kor and the rest of them. That and they had a blood oath between them.
Because a albino had killed all their children with poison, and because Curzon was such good friends with the Klingons by, you know, getting the peace stuff started with them, that he also joined this blood oath with them. And the blood oath basically just entails them all going together to kill the albino, and then taking his heart out and sharing it amongst themselves.
Right.
As a appetizer.
And then they eat the feet. But the only thing is that they don't really say why the albino did this in the first place. There's not really explanation. Just that
the albino's just an asshole.
He just killed their children. I mean,
I'm sure the Klingon started him.
Well, was the albino a Klingon? Because he looks sort of Klingon.
I don't think so. I think he was a different.
Yeah, I thought he was.
I don't know. There's not a lot to go on. But anyways.
All his friends weren't Klingon, though.
Yeah, they weren't. But he seemed to have this like kind of like James Bond villain kind of fortress and network going on for him. So.
Well, yeah, he was really hard to find. I mean, Kang, Koloth, and Kor had to wait like 50-some years to like track him down because he was so well hidden.
Right. So the episode starts off, and they basically come all together again, and they're like, they know Kang knows the place where he can find the albino. They can hunt him down and have this glorious battle, and they're all hoping they're going to die.
Which is really weird because they're trying to avenge their dead children. So instead of actually avenging them, they're hoping they'll just die so they can go be with them. I'm like, that doesn't seem as honorable as actually getting the revenge that they've wanted so much.
I'm curious on this, too. It just is another bafflement of the Klingon culture. It's like, you know, today's a good day to die. He's like, why don't we try to win first, and then we'll worry about the death. So,
yeah.
And Kang has some issues with Dax. That it has a different form and it kind of throws him off. It takes him a while to kind of accept Dax as the old Curzon is still there.
So. Holy crap, you have boobs all of a sudden?
You got boobs!
It's
like, wait a minute, this is not the gender.
Well, no, Koloth mostly was not wanting her to join because he was just wanting them to go on a death sentence. That was, like, the real motivation.
Yeah, Koloth was definitely like, let's go die.
Let's go die.
Kor was open to live.
Yeah, Kor was definitely open to live because he likes his women, he likes his bloodline.
And Kang was sort of in between. He was like, yeah, I could die, I could live. It doesn't matter.
Whichever works for me.
I thought Kang actually was probably more embodiment of what I think a Klingon should be with honor. Like, you know, he's like he's willing to go into the battle, but he's also willing to die, but he's also willing to live. So.
You mean Koloth?
He looks at all.
No, not Koloth. Kang.
Kang wasn't willing to live. Kang wanted to die.
He did, but he seemed like he's kind of in between to me. Like he wasn't like ready to just to like. I mean, he did admit that they probably are going to all die. So.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's really weird because like this is not actually inconsistency with the Klingons. It's actually inconsistency with the Trill because in a previous season. Or maybe it was this season, earlier this season, or late last season, that she was on trial for the murder of somebody as Curzon, and then they made this whole deal.
This is second season.
You can't be tried.
That was like four hosts before.
It was Curzon.
Oh, I thought there. What about the crazy serial killer one that was like attached to her to Dax at one point? Anyways, well, yeah,
that was a different episode. But like, the deal was that the host wasn't bound toward like anything in the previous life. Therefore, you couldn't like convict her of, you know, sentenced her to a death penalty because
I do remember now. It's been a while.
Something the previous host did because it was the Daxon, you know, whatever. So like basically like they did this and they threw it out that you didn't have to do anything from your past life. And the Klingon correctly said that, and she's like, no, I'll just do it.
Yeah. I got kind of the feeling that Jadzia Dax was sort of just like, you know, come on, guys, let me join the gang, you know, and they're like, let's just go, and they're like, get out of here, kid, you bother me, and she just kept on bugging him, like, fine, you can come, I guess he does have a blood oath with us, so
I think it's interesting that a non-Klingon can take a part of the blood oath.
I don't think it really matters. I don't think Klingons actually... That's one thing I notice with Klingon when it comes to honor. They're not super wrapped up in the race as long as it's honorable.
Honorable in quotes.
It doesn't matter what changes.
Yeah, quotes. Yeah, well, the definition of honor does seem to shift a bit. It
shifts a lot.
But anyway, so we have them... they're making their plans to go see. Obviously, Benjamin Sisko... is not crazy about.
He's not happy at all about her wanting to go murder some guy.
And he gives her the old man talk, and of course she ignores him because everyone ignores Sisko. Sisko comes up with this like,
"Wait,
you know,
what were you saying?"
Yeah, like he goes, "Don't do this. You can't do this." And he's like,
those clouds are pretty.
We're gonna go do this. We're gonna go do it."
Oh, baseball! I'll forget about everything. I'm going to play some baseball.
And he's like, after he's done talking, let's sneak out and go do it. And that's exactly what she does.
After he's done yelling at me, I'll just go do it anyway.
That's kind of my relationship with my parents too. But all right, so they're it's pretty straightforward. They just go to the albinos.
Hideout.
Fortress in this odd system, and it's basically surrounded by these weird, cheesy-looking rejects of
security guards,
of stormtroopers.
I love how Jadzia is like, I don't know where the tennis court is. I was like, what? Why wouldn't the guy like even like consider this a valid question? Yeah, why would she say that? Yes. But how would he even consider that a valid thing? Not say, hey, who are you? Or like, oh, don't move. Oh, I'm going to shoot you. Like, none of this came out of his mouth. He almost wanted to answer the question before she hit him.
I was like,
you know, she probably confused him so badly he felt obligated to answer the question. Why are you asking me something this stupid?
Tennis hasn't been played for 300 years.
Do albinos play tennis? Can they go outside to play tennis?
Maybe an indoor tennis. Tennis anyone?
It just, the whole thing was just really weird.
It was weird.
That stuck out to me like a sore thumb.
Well, and battle ensues. They basically kill everybody.
They kill everybody except for Kor.
Right. Kor and Dax live. Kang deals the death blow for the albino.
But Kang is mortally wounded at the time he does this.
And he falls over dead. And nobody eats his heart.
No.
Nobody eats his heart.
They failed in their blood oath.
I mean, maybe they showed that off screen, but I kind of think after you build that up, I mean, you might as well put that little
fake heart. Although, like, they're, like, Kang, like, you know, Kor goes up and, like, slits some guy's throat and there's no blood on his bat lap.
Oh, I love the bat
lap.
He's, like, killing all these guys with the bat lap and then they just kind of fall over.
Yeah, it's.
Oh, you
it's
got me.
90s yeah. action for you.
Yeah, but they, you know, by this time we've had, you know, Indiana Jones Temple of Doom where he rips the heart out of the guy's chest. I mean, why can't they just do that scene?
This is why I'm waiting for, like, you know, HBO or something to pick up, like, a Star Trek so that we can see, like, Klingons be Klingons and it just be gory.
Oh, yeah.
And the way it needs to be.
Yeah, yeah. That would be cool to see stuff like that.
Like, just redo this episode. Just redo it, the new actors, and, like, just redo this episode the way it needs. Because this episode just a massacre.
Yeah. It's just everyone dying. I mean, or, you know.
I wonder if Koloff and Kang like wanted to die in the episode, like whenever they asked them to come on.
Yeah.
I wonder if they wanted to die because they didn't want to wear the makeup again.
I don't care anymore.
I saw a video with the actor who played Koloff, and he was just like, "Why do I have to wear this? I didn't have to wear it before."
Yeah.
So I wonder if he just did it just to do it, and was like, "No, I'm not going to do it again. So kill me in this episode."
Right.
I just wonder because Kor comes back a couple times.
Yeah, he does. And he's actually pretty cool every time he shows up. So.
Oh, I love Kang.
Yeah.
Kor. I hate Kang.
I love Kor. At least Kang's makeup improved since the last
time
we saw
him. Yes, Kang is not in horrible blackface this time. Thank goodness.
He actually looks kind of, well, really cool, actually. So the Blood Oath has been fulfilled.
Al Jazeera network.
Al Jazeera lived. Dax lived, and Kor lives, and they. I guess they just walk out.
Yeah, they just walk out, go back to the runabout.
Don't forget to lock the door behind you.
Oh, they didn't do the scream whenever their comrades died.
No,
they didn't like look into their eyeballs and just yell their souls in the stove, of course.
Yeah. I don't know what that was about either. There's a lot of little things in this episode. I mean, it's cool to see.
It was awesome to see the guys back.
The guys come back, you know.
And all in the same episode.
Yeah. And it was kind of a cool idea. Like I said, when I originally seen it, I didn't make the connection to the TOS. Because they don't really talk about the TOS at all, the original series there. So and their involvement with Kirk and the Enterprise. So I thought they dropped the name at least once when I rewatched it, but
yeah,
they didn't.
It would have been nice. Oh well, can't all be about Kirk?
It should be. But anyways,
do you have any thoughts on this episode, Babe?
No, I like the glory and honor aspect of it. Like the broad strokes of the episode. Or what I enjoy is just watching these guys actually get together and try and fulfill it. It's kind of fun watching that, and you know. I enjoyed watching that cultural part of it for me.
It's sort of like the old guys going out for a night of drinking or
the bucket list.
Yeah, like if I was gonna do one thing,
I was gonna kill some dude and eat his heart.
I was gonna kiss Mary Jane Watson.
It's a lot.
And then cut out her dad's heart and eat it.
Okay.
What was that, Faith?
I'm a big fan of like the old cheesy kung fu movies. Okay, so for me, this episode had a lot of that feel of the Ronin warriors banished from when their feudal lord dies and they get really really drunk one night and decide, all right, we're gonna get our honor back. We're gonna go back. This is the stupidest thing we've ever done, but we're gonna die and we're gonna have our honor and hell with it.
Yeah.
For me, that's very much what it felt like, and it was just it made it fun.
Yeah, it definitely had that feel to it. That they were just like, hey, let's do one last road trip, you know?
It's the last hurrah.
And, you know,
for most of them, it was. It was sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
For
Klingon, it's a good way to die.
Yeah,
it was good for Klingons. It was a good day for Koloth and Kang.
Yeah. Yeah, Kang could finally be miserable in Stovacor.
I wish they would show them on the Barge of the Dead being angry at each other.
Still mad. Still mad.
That death wasn't as cool as I thought it'd be. I didn't bleed out as fast as I thought. Kind of sucked.
It actually took me 45 minutes to die there. I just couldn't say anything because I couldn't move anymore.
And Kor just laughed at me.
Something I always wondered, like, if you, like, someone cut your head off, like, how long would you actually be alive until your brain shut off? Has there been tests on that?
I want to say, like, it's, like, less than a minute.
You think so?
You have brain activity for a few seconds after the head's severed.
I kind of picture...
That's why when they did the beheadings.
We are now the mid over.
That's why when they did the old beheadings and the eyes still twitch.
Well, I always kind of thought that the Nazis would have had like studies on this.
We are now the medieval and Nazi torture suicide, not suicide.
Beheading.
Beheading club.
Anyway, so here we go. Next episode. Moving on.
What?
And there's Aaron running away from the conversation.
Run away! We're going to do House of Kork.
Oh, House of Quark, that was a great episode.
Good episode.
I think that was probably my favorite of this bunch, I think.
Quark gets himself in trouble, as usual.
This Klingon is drunk in Quark's bar.
They're assholes.
Yeah, and he just shows up. Like, everyone's, like, nobody's
The bar is empty. This guy is drunk, and Rom's like, oh, you need...
He's on his own.
He's like, oh, he's out of money.
He's like, let me show you how to handle this.
And then the guy, like, gets up and's like, oh, start a tab. And he pulls out his knife anyway, attacks Quark, and Quark just kind of falls down, and the guy falls down on his own knife and dies.
He stabbed himself right in the chest. What a way. What a way to go.
Well done.
Very drunk.
He was a happy Klingon, though.
Yeah, he was a happy drunk.
I mean, he missed horribly.
critical failure.
I'm glad Quark lived. Quark is one of my favorite characters in Deep Space Nine. This is great for business. He tells everyone how he slew this Klingon in his bar. And then he gets a visit from the guy's brother.
Yes.
And the guy's brother's like, you better keep telling the story, because if it found out he died on accident, that would be a great dishonor to his house, and that would affect me.
Right.
And so you keep the story, otherwise I'm going to kill you.
Right. So this guy is his brother, and his name's D'Gor.
And then,
this is after Odo was trying to get the facts out of him.
Yeah, Odo's like, you sure this is the story?
This doesn't sound right.
This doesn't sound like you. I've never known you to have any kind of, like, brass like that.
Balls.
Balls.
Oh, yeah.
Keep his balls on his ears.
Exactly. That's where they keep all the fluids.
Apparently so.
So, a night or two later, Quark is counting his latinum, and someone comes in, and she attacks him, and he jumps over the bar, and... turns out it's the wife of the person he killed.
Grilka. And she wants to find out what's actually happened. And he says, first he says he sticks to the story. And then he tells her the actual truth. And
then she knocks him out.
Yeah, she gives him a little, like, little shot there.
She drugs him. Like, it's so bad. Like, he doesn't even wake up till they're on the Klingon homeworld. So this is, like, some serious...
Yeah.
Like, he's hibernating.
They gave him a roofie.
Like a super roofie. Because, yeah. I mean, it takes a couple days to fly from, you know...
Meanwhile, Quark was being violated by the Klingon warriors in the back of the cargo bay.
He wakes up and is like, why is my butt so sore?
Why is my butt so sore? So he shows up on Kronos, wakes up, and there is a Klingon gentleman in front of him, and obviously he's confused, doesn't know why he's
Where
there.
Am I?
And
it was a good roofie. They,
they do this Klingon ceremony with the widowed wife. And they become man and wife. So
and it's now the House of Quark. See, the thing is, because he killed her, because the story is that Quark killed her husband in rightful combat, he's the right to marry the wife.
And take the possessions of everything.
Yes, and that's trying to help her out, because if...
Klingon law's got to suck for the family. Jesus.
Yeah, if he was killed in that fashion, then she was able to marry Quark and take and have her assets recovered. But otherwise, if he died in honorable combat, then there was no dispensation granted to the widow, so her house would fall and
the
guy's brother would seize all the assets.
Yeah, so D'Gor.
Yeah, everything would be given to the.
Yeah, it would be given to D'Gor. So D'Gor is the brother, and apparently D'Gor has... There's been this falling out between the brothers. D'Gor is obviously wants to get his brother's lands and his house and all the property and money that goes with it. The brother's name was Kozak. And Grilka and Quark are now married. It's now the House of Quark. Quark owns all his property. And... D'Gor is making his petition on the in the High Council to Galron, and in the last little couple of seconds there, when Galron was probably going to make some kind of judgment, they come in and basically say it's the House of Quark now, and everyone's like, what? Guess who's coming for dinner?
It's a Ferengi.
It's a Ferengi. So this is pretty bad.
wait, have to eat this thing at the table?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, this is like that Sidney Poitier movie, just with Klingons and Ferengi now. So
Grilka explains to her husband that there's lots of financial issues, and he's like, oh, let me do what I do best. And she kind of puts up a little bit of a fight until she gives in. And
he looking at the filthy ledgers.
The filthy ledgers. Oh, this is the honorable.
There's dirt and blood wine.
So, like, I love...
Let the Ferengi look at it then.
Like, yeah. My favorite scene in the entire episode is Quark's, like, he's like, oh, yeah, I know that he's been, like, extorting money from you. And he takes these pads and takes it to the High Council. And he's explaining to them all this horrible stuff that he's been doing to Grelka. And, like, they're just so confused.
Again, the Klingon bunch of meatheads. There's not one person has, like, a bit. Even Gelron.
He tosses it aside. He's like, stop it.
I can't take it anymore.
I can't do math.
I'm sorry.
I can only do third grade arithmetic.
I can't math this. There's not enough digits.
I can barely divide.
It's like bat left plus targ equals dinner. That's their math.
Right. So,
and so it's found that it's very dishonorable to use math to ruin a family.
You using your brain? Using your brain to think? Oh, you baby, there's no thinking here.
So,
wait, you're manipulating finances and assets. What?
What?
You're not a Klingon.
This is dishonorable, and to hold up his honor, D'Gor wants to fight Quark to the death.
Quark's not too crazy about this.
Quark's not happy about
it. They don't really show how he gets out of that. All of a sudden, they're just back at the house.
Well, it's because they bring an eyewitness, his brother Rom, to prove that it was an accident.
Right, he shows up, and then all of a sudden they're back at the house.
Back at the house. The tournament's going to happen the next day.
There must have been a
timeout.
Convene the court or whatever, you know.
So the next day, they're waiting for Quark to show up, and it looks like he's going to skip town.
Yeah, Quark definitely was going to take off. He was like, I'm out of here.
But Grelka's just hot enough for him to not want to leave.
Yeah, he's got a little thing for her, I think.
Yeah, she is easily the best-looking full-blooded Klingon in the entire of Star Trek.
Yeah, I agree.
Way better than Lorsa Immator.
Who's better?
No, she's not up there.
Kalar was not full-blooded Klingon.
Oh, come on.
She was half Klingon.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. She was far better looking.
Kalar is better looking, but Kalar and B'Elanna are only half Klingon.
Yeah.
I was saying that Grelka...
I don't even look at B'Elanna, though.
Grelka is full-blooded Klingon. She's the best looking full-blooded Klingon on the show. On any of the shows.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone that other than the two that you talked about, and they, like you said, they're half human, half Klingon. So
yeah, well, there I don't argue that, but I can't.
There are other female Klingons, like one that sleeps with Neelix in Voyager. There's a couple random ones you see, but I mean, like, she's the next biggest full-blooded Klingon woman.
No,
you
like
see
an
other
actual
than.
Part.
That's an actual part, and it's only Lursa and Mator.
Yeah, like an actual, because like, yeah.
Yeah, well, we talked about them last episode.
Oh, yeah.
So here comes the coup de grace here.
On Quark, Quark throws away his bat left.
They're supposed to fight.
Gets on his knees.
He says, fine, kill me. It'll be the most unhonorable death that you'll ever done.
And the guy's like, fine.
D'Gor is like, I'll do it. And Gowron stays his hand and says, you...
This is probably the most honorable thing Gowron ever does in his entire life, is protect Quark.
And even Gowron...
Well, let's face it, what Quark did was easily the most honorable thing he'll ever do.
Yeah, it's up there. Yeah, it's very up there. It had no profit really involved, so...
Yeah.
Well, your life...
Well, yeah, but I mean, but yeah.
I mean, that counts as profit.
But he could have ran, you know, he could have just left. So, I mean, he didn't have to do that for her, but he did. So, that's, we kind of leave that. So that was interesting. We got to see how like what would happen if Klingon fell in battle with another Klingon, and what would happen with their house, how their things would be acquired by other Klingons.
Yeah, and then we also got to see Klingon divorce, which apparently is super freaking easy. Backhanded slap to the husband, divorce. And then...
You backhand them, you scream at them, you spit on them, and it's over.
It's over. It's a really simple divorce procedure.
That's what I call in Rick's. Like
can we institute this?
I know, right?
Can we adopt that in America?
I got a feeling there'd be a lot more divorces. There'd be a lot more divorces.
There would be a lot fewer divorce attorneys.
Yes, there would.
But then Quark gets his kiss from Girlka after they're divorced, and he's pretty happy about it.
Yeah, he's feeling pretty good about himself.
Yeah.
So from there, the next time we see some real Klingon action in Deep Space Nine is Way of the Warrior, a two-part series. This is where everything goes to hell. Everything.
Oh yeah.
All the
that's the understatement.
Yeah. So here we have Worf is it comes onto the series as a full-fledged character. And
as a regular character starting season 4, and basically they bring him on because there's lots of issues happening with the Klingons. The Klingons are just hanging around Deep Space Nine.
Apparently the Klingons,
and they don't know how to deal with Klingons, and Curzon Dax, Sisko said, the only way to deal with the Klingon is with the Klingon.
Right.
So they bring in the one Federation Klingon they have.
And I like they make the reference to the Generations movie that
the ship's destroyed.
Ship destroyed. And he's like, I was thinking about doing something else, maybe leaving Starfleet. And...
Yeah, he was... praying at this monastery again whenever...
Yeah, he went back to the monastery. Because that worked last time.
That worked so good last time. He's like, maybe I can get the real Kalis to come back and kill me.
Kalis!
Come on, the real one! still a clone.
It's just a clone. Another clone pops up and goes,
no! Not another clone!
Right.
My clone babies!
Regular clone wars going on over there. So, so yeah, Worf is called aboard Deep Space Nine. He's having some issues not knowing if he wants to be part of Starfleet anymore.
Yeah, he's thinking about resigning his commission. Sisko also tells him that he thought about it too after his wife Jennifer had died, and Worf is moping around.
And Worf is like, "Why are you giving me this damn advice? I don't. It's Deep Space Nine, Commander."
Well, they go and they need Worf's help because they're trying to figure out why all these Klingons are hanging out.
I found it interesting that several of the officers that Worf runs into in Deep Space Nine end up telling, comparing their life stories about how they had their moments hey, I don't want to do this either, and how they had that moment of decision, like with Odo, and Odo's more personal revelation of, and should I be more loyal to my race, or should I be more loyal to the Federation, to this institution that I believe in? So I found that rather fascinating in these episodes.
Yeah, and then every piece acquaintance that he meets are like, I was thinking about quitting one time, but I didn't.
And this was why.
And Worf's like, oh, really? Did you ever fight in the Klingon Civil War? Oh, did you ever reunite the whole Klingon Empire? Oh, did you ever elect...
Reinstate a clone to be the Emperor of the Empire?
Did your mate die with your kid there?
Yeah. Did your wife ever die and your kid was right there? Oh, no? Then shut up! Odo, get the hell out of here! Before I kick you off the top of this promenade. Yeah, no, but that was interesting, and I did find that honestly, Sisko's words to Worf a little cold comfort. Like, it's like why would he even listen to you? He doesn't even know you. He's like, he doesn't have any rapport with you. It's not like you're Picard. If Picard said it, I'd be like, yes, whatever you say, Picard. Get in the fridge. Okay. Close the door. All right.
You'll survive a nuclear explosion.
Yeah, exactly. There's no air in here. Just stay in there.
You'll survive. It'll be okay.
So basically the Klingons, like, whatever, 20 ships.
30, 40 ships decloak around the station, and...
And they're all like, we're going to go kick the Dominion's ass, and like...
Well, they don't know what they're doing.
No, I know, but they're but obviously they're saying we're here to, to fight for the Dominion, to make sure the Dominion doesn't, get a hold in here and like, you know, Sisko's like, okay, well, that's not really, we don't really need you here.
And, oh, yeah, they don't, they haven't, you know, shown up in a while.
And then they're basically giving, giving them headaches, too, because first they take on Sisko's main squeeze. They go on the ship, and they board her ship, and they're trying to, you know, like, oh, we don't know what she's doing here. You know, like, it's like, she's a freighter. She's doing
her business. Oh, his girlfriend ship. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to maintain peace by doing, like, mandatory strip searches of all the women who go through Bajoran space. And look at all their cargo, too. The junk in the trunk, as it were.
Yes. I loved how Sisko, too, got on the Defiant.
Immediately. Like, I'm saving my girlfriend. Show my ship muscles.
Yeah, it was like I'm going to play hero.
It was good.
And then,
I'm guaranteeing I can get laid.
Yeah, that's right. And then, what was the other one? Oh, yeah, the... Garak, the Klingons come in and
just... Oh, yeah, they go beat Garak. I mean, this is such a huge departure from... Because Martok, the general, asked them if they have shore leave. And as we saw in Trouble with Tribbles, the Klingons weren't trying to make trouble.
Right.
They were trying to instigate trouble with words, but they weren't, like, trying to beat them. And they just attacked Garak for really no reason at all.
Right. Well, it was the squadron, or whatever you want to call it, fleet commander's son that did that. So he was a spoiled little ass. And he obviously they had different motives. And when Worf comes aboard Deep Space Nine, he goes into kind of like looking to find what's the reason they're all there. So he basically finds somebody he can talk to, an old friend that he can
bribe information from.
And the old friend tells him what's going on, and they don't really reveal it in the episode. I mean, right there at that moment, but it's and Worf's like rattled by it. But so it's basically the Klingon Empire plan to invade Cardassia and take over the Cardassian Empire.
And they can't release this information without looking like they're going to turn on the Klingon Empire. And so they invite Garak into measure Sisko because he feels like he's lost a couple pounds. And they just rediscuss what they've already discussed. Because Garak, if you've been following Deep Space Nine at all, he is a member of the Obsidian Order.
Yeah, or the former Obsidian Order. And he has ties to Cardassia.
Sleeper agent in layman's terms.
Yes. And so while he is taking Sisko's inseam measurements.
Ooh la la.
Benjamin Sisko, your penis has gotten bigger.
We need to make your pants a little bit roomier.
Your crotch area is
He just
tight.
Likes talking about war, that's all.
I'm popping a boner because we're talking about war.
And I just saved my girlfriend with my ship. I saved her twice, you know.
I mean, he's a proud man on all aspects.
If right you know there. What I mean.
All hands on deck. Anyways, they give him they start talking what's going to happen with the Klingons right in front of Garak, and Garak's like, oh, I get it. Why do they just go and just tell him? This is so bullshitty, but, you know, it's like Garak knew what they're up to, and they knew what they're up to, and it's like they're going to play this stupid game.
Well, but I mean, like, it was never ever confirmed that he was part of the Obsidian Order. It just seemed like it, so...
Well, I think this...
I guess instead of just telling him directly, they just wanted him to overhear it in case he really was.
Right. Well, which they kind of do confirm it, because he calls Cardassia right away. And he's like, you know... Yeah.
They know he has ties, so that helps them some.
Right, so he calls...
Well,
so
they could also claim that they didn't mean to... They could also claim that they didn't mean to give him that information later.
Oh, right.
Yeah, exactly. So they could...
We have no idea how he got it.
How do you get that?
Yeah, there's a spy on the station, so... Anyway, battle ensues on Cardassia.
The Defiant goes to save the Cardassian, I don't know what you want to call them, leadership? Civilian leadership?
Yeah, whatever the in-control leadership is.
Yeah.
There's a fight with Klingons, and...
Oh, I think we missed, like, we glaze over a big thing in between that, is that...
Gowron!
Gowron comes and asks Worf to join him in battle,
And because Worf says no, Worf is once again shamed by the Klingon Empire.
Right.
He cannot keep his good standing in the Klingon Empire for longer than a year or two, and it just goes down the toilet again.
Yeah, he's got these high principles, and it's like...
He's so honorable, and he's like, you don't owe honor to people who don't have honor. And he's like, what about honor to myself? And Gowron still just totally dismisses it.
And I'm going to just side with the Klingons here and say, like, what have the Cardassians really done for anybody? You know, at this point of Star Trek history, it seems like the Klingons have a better relationship with the Federation. I mean, it's strained, of course, but it's far better than the Cardassia. Than the Federation. And I mean,
But they make for a nice buffer when you're looking at the actual territory in space. It's nice to have that nice little squishy shield border.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But then, I mean, in the end, they end up siding with the Dominion anyways.
It's like the Klingon. It's like the Cardassian. The Klingons are right about the Cardassians. And
I would have just loved to see the Cardassians on a Klingon.
I just love it how, like, in Star Trek The Next Generation, Worf's always like, oh, we should do this. And Picard's like, no. And, like, so many times, because they don't take Worf's advice, like, Klingons, for how dumb they are, they have really good instincts.
They have good instincts.
When it comes to, like...
They have bad follow through.
But, I mean, it's like...
Really bad follow through.
It's like they have really good instincts on detecting honor and dishonor because they're so dishonorable themselves.
Right.
So they can smell it like a, you know...
It's a good bullshit meter.
Yeah, I mean, they're good at it because that's all they do. So, like, they know it from experience.
Right.
And so...
Yeah, it's one of those things. So Worf's kicked out again of the Klingon Club, and from there, basically the Federation obviously does not condone what they're doing, and the Federation and the Klingon Empire, their treaty falls apart.
Oh yeah, they say the Kittenberg Accords are out the window. All the years and peace is thrown out the window.
I don't think it's technically war, but it's basically war could happen at any point.
Yeah, it's like war has not been declared, but all peace has been thrown out. Like it's open season if they feel like it. So
duck season, rabbit season,
rabbit season. So the Defiant rescues the Cardassian military because when the Klingons would get there, they would kill all the leaders and then put up a puppet state, which is how they do.
That's how we do. That's what we do.
So they go rescue the Cardassian leadership. The Klingons are following them back to the station, and there's a whole other fleet that's following these two Klingon ships. And luckily, since the threat of the Dominion has been ongoing for one whole season before this, they've started upgrading the defenses of Deep Space Nine.
And they can actually...
And running drills.
Yeah, I mean, they can actually do some damage. I mean, it's not like, you know...
They take out lots of ships in that fleet. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And they take out, like, four or five ships. They call Gowron. He's like, no, we're gonna... This is a good day to die. Right, we've boarded your ship. And they've gotten, beamed in parties to take people by force. And we actually, the first time, actually have it referenced that Klingons prefer to fight with... knives and swords. I mean, we see it all the time, but it's never been said specifically.
Right.
That's their preference for fighting.
Right.
And Bashir's prepping all his doctors and nurses, like, prepare for lots of lacerations because this
Jake and Nog are wetting their pants.
Thankfully, they're not in the episode.
It's a good episode.
Well, Nog, I don't mind. Jake, I can't stand.
Yeah. Jake's writing about it.
I saw a Klingon take a bat lift to some guy's chest. It bled.
He died.
And he died. I am the best writer in the whole Federation.
So, Deep Space Nine...
Thanks, Dad! Thanks, Dad. I am in danger all the time because I am in a war zone.
You're the best dad ever.
You're the best. I love you so much. Oh, wait. I was writing my paper about the Cardassian-Klingon War. Oh, wait.
Wait. Thanks for turning on to a sport that nobody plays anymore.
Sports That nobody. Oh no. Cassidy got him a baseball cap because her brother played baseball on a planet very, very far away.
It's like, you know,
2 months away.
Yeah, 2 months away. And Cisco's like, I might go check that out.
2 months there, 2 months back. It's really far away.
Benjamin Cisco, the most boringest officer in the Federation.
The travel 2 months to see a 3-hour boring game.
You thought reading Shakespeare could be boring. No, this is more boring.
He's gonna be grabbing his baseball the whole time and just rubbing it. Like, can't wait to see some baseball. Can't wait to see some baseball. I'm gonna play some baseball. Baseball.
Would you like to be cryogenically frozen while we take the trip?
No,
hand me the bat. I gotta stroke that bat.
The anticipation of baseball.
Baseball.
You ready, Jake? Ready, Jake? Jake, are you ready?
Can I write about this long trip, Dad? I'm going to write about what we got in the runabout.
Whatever.
Today I replicated corn. Today I replicated taters. This is the most interesting journal ever. I love my daddy.
I hope we go on a sailing trip together.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go on a sailing trip with a space sail.
Space sail, Dad.
Space sail. And we get caught up in a space torrent that takes us all the way to Cardassia Prime in like 2 seconds.
Oh, this is great.
Oh, wait, that's not a Klingon episode. We're sorry, people.
No, you guys aren't talking about Klingons at all.
All right. We're sorry.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt your Jake bashing session, you were saying. Do you feel better? I feel like I'm owed money at this point.
We've sullied the episode just by mentioning Jake. This was a good episode.
This was a great episode.
While my co-hosts are resolving daddy issues, we can return to the Klingon information. Let's
return to our regular broadcast system. This was only a test. Okay, so where do we leave? Oh, yeah, Deep Space Nine has some teeth finally and kicks some Klingon ass.
Did you say teats or teeth?
Both.
Okay.
They installed large breasts onto
Kira,
it.
On Kira?
No, I don't think.
No.
Kira never had large breasts. Dax?
Dax would be better.
Dax.
But at least you could handle the personality.
Oh, God.
My God, I'm sorry.
So we're going on a Kira bashing session now.
And then when the host dies, it's like, you know, Trill surprise. Who's your next boyfriend, girlfriend going to be?
50-50. Come on.
Gender bender, let's go. Shake them up. Roll her out. Which one is going to land on this time? What species are you?
We still get another girl after Judsy is gone because we're too few female characters if we switch to a man.
Right.
So.
Okay, so.
They kick some butt, and it was the most epic battle ever seen in a Star Trek episode ever.
Most epic battle ever.
Yeah, it basically ended with my fleet's coming in, but my fleet's closer, and my fleet's bigger. So. Typical measuring contest?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, that's how you deal with Klingons. You have to measure it.
And the Klingons way, yep, nope, yes, yours is bigger. Worf is still screwed.
And then they're like, okay, look, the Minion wants us to fight against each other, because if we've beaten each other senseless, we won't be able to fight the real fight that's going to come.
Yeah.
And it does come later. And
it's more dishonorable to let the future battle get won because we're idiots now, yeah.
Yeah, Gowron, this is the Klingons. Klingons are just not, this is like the more of the, I think Klingons are idiots and you know, after the original series, because they just, like, are just so quick to fight, and they don't think about anything.
Yeah, especially with Gowron, I would kind of thought that by now he kind of figured this stuff out, but I don't think he does.
Gowron's been not dug from day one, though.
I think Quark broke his brain with all that math in the previous episode.
Klingon training broke his brain in the first place.
Yeah,
that's
the rest
true.
Of it just got fractured.
Well, they keep on referring to him in other episodes. He's just a politician. He's a politician. I'm like, well, aren't politicians usually like smart and conniving? Like, have some measure of intelligence?
Yeah. I think what the issue is again, what I've keep bringing up is this fear and fierceness of, like, you know, killing your superiors to get to go up. It's like, you know, how you're only dealing with psychopaths after a while, and it's like, I don't know, it's just, I can't see too many, like, really bright people going up that ladder. I mean, it's going to be a point where it's just the person who just has the most fierceness to them is going to come
smart
on top.
Smart people die.
Smart people are going to... I mean, not that you can't be fierce and smart, but the thing is that you're going to lose a huge chunk of your population of the more intelligent people just because they're like, hey, I got these sensor readings, you know?
With their historians now, like, one of the things I've definitely noticed watching through all these episodes with this is that with the guys that are their scientists, their historians, they're the archivists, those guys are tend to be a lot more laid back. They have a wider perspective. They're a lot more on the intellectual warrior side than the I'm going to smash your face in.
Right, right. We'll even see that with Kor later on with the Sword of Kaelas episode. He seems to be more, I mean, gets a little silly in the end, but...
Yeah, that's the next episode. Oh, wait, but before we go to that, Worf decides he's going to stay with the Federation, and he puts on a red uniform again. He's like, oh, I've got a lot to learn about command. And I'm like, you served with Picard for 7 years, and you don't know anything about command, and you used to wear a red shirt?
Yeah.
The first season of Next Generation? Did you forget about that?
Yeah, he's just not going to do security anymore. I think that's what it comes down to.
Come on, buddy. You're a Klingon. Point and growl. Yeah. People will do it.
Exactly. So
you don't even need words. They'll just be terrified and want to please you.
And can you just make your shift like that? Just like, I'm just going to put on a red shirt now instead of they put in the yellow uniform? I mean, don't you need some kind of like, you know, like, you know, say, yes, you can make that transfer? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Commendation. Like,
well, anyway, so that's where so Worf stays on, and this is a two-parter episode, so it's quite long to watch. It's very enjoyable though. There's a lot of cool parts to it.
Yeah, excellent episode. And Sword of Kaelas, we open up with Kor.
Yeah, Kor comes back from Blood Oath, and he's he apparently has an artifact of an old
a map.
Yeah, some kind of like old thing that actually held the Sword of Kaelas. And when Dax does a scan of it, he does realize that that there was a that it was held a blade, and it was how many
1500 years old.
Yeah, so super old. So yeah, exactly.
So. Worf doesn't want to meet him initially because he's so dishonored, and Kaelas...
Kor doesn't seem to care.
Kor's cool with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I really like Kor. Actually, besides the ending of this episode, he seems like just like a guy you just want to hang out with.
Yeah, he's fun with
sit around, drink, he tells and, good and stories. Share fish stories.
Yeah. The big fish stories that he wants to tell. And it's you know, he's actually kind of refreshing in some ways than compared to other Klingons we see all the time. So he's not the typical Klingon warrior.
He's more down to earth than the other Klingons.
And he seems to see the ridiculousness in everything. You know, like it's not just about war. I mean, it's sure honor and all that stuff is important, but he just sees the silliness in life, which I think as you get older, you're just like, God, it's just life is mad. You know, it's like everything.
Were we really that stupid?
Yeah,
probably.
definitely.
So that's what they basically go on this mission to find this the Sword of Kaelas, and which I thought Kaelas did have at his throne when we saw Kaelas last. But I guess we just...
It looked like just a regular Batleth to me.
It did to me, but...
I like how when they actually find the Sword of Kaelas, it's actually a different prop. It's a little bit different design, and it's black. It's really cool looking.
They don't mention that it was forged in a volcano either.
No, they don't mention that part.
So it's basically with some ancient race that seems to all have died off or gone extinct.
They'd come and stolen it from the Klingon Empire
At one point conquered the Klingon Empire, and they'd... stolen their artifacts, and one of them was a Sword of Kaelas. And if they were to return with a Sword of Kaelas to the Klingon Empire, then it would have been... It's going to be a huge boon to the Klingon, the Klingon Empire, and a lot of people would come together under that banner of like, oh my God, this is the Sword of Kaelas, even though they have the genetic clone of Kaelas. Which Kor doesn't really believe that he has any worth. So Kor, Worf, and Dax, they go to find this forgotten planet where where the Sword of Kaelas is being held, and that's where they find this ancient tunnel system that still has some technology left, where they have to get through the shields. And unfortunately, that's where they run into the young teenage brat, now grown up, of the Duras. And he wants to regain the Duras name. And that's where he's going to basically take the sword back. That's his plan. And then restore the Duras and hopefully rule the Empire from there. That's the one thing about the Sword of Kaelas. It seems like have this like intoxicating effect on all the... and all the Klingons, that they all want to like rule.
They seem to be maddened by it.
Yeah, like, they just get
driven.
Yeah, it's strange. It's sort of like the One Ring from.
Yeah, it's like Smaug's treasure almost. Like they just see the gold and they just go nuts.
Yeah, yeah, and they all lose it. I mean, there's even a point after they run away from the Duras party and they trap them. They start fighting, and even Worf, which is, I think, really uncharacteristic, is Worf, he thinks that he could be emperor if he brings the sword back, and
Yeah, this whole tale about the vision quest and everything like that, and how he feels like he was meant by him to lead his people, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, I thought that was so uncharacteristic of Worf. I mean, maybe it is the Bat'leth that's actually makes them, you know... kind of nuts, like I said, like we were saying, like the One Ring kind of effect.
Maybe something in the metal or...
maybe something in that volcano. Hey, wait a second. The One Ring was forged in a volcano, and so was the Sword of Kaelas. I wonder
if we have a commonality here.
Yeah. I wonder if that has, like, something that's that brings it together. So, yes, that's... So the Duras party gets out of their little trap of being trapped inside the in the alien, whatever you want to call it, museum or whatever you want to call it, trophy hall. And when they come out, they have another battle with Worf and Kaelas and Dax. And of course, they defeat the Duras young bastard son. and then he they basically come to the conclusion that they don't really want to keep the sword. This is the part where I thought it was kind of odd that they made the decision that they didn't feel that the Klingon Empire was ready for it because they weren't ready for it. And it's like, what, you're making a assumption.
Supposition.
Yeah, it's just on yourselves, you know. I mean, because this is just you. I mean, maybe you're not ready for that kind of power or that kind of responsibility. Doesn't mean that they couldn't give it to Kaelas. Doesn't mean you couldn't give it to somebody else, you know, to become emperor.
But, I mean, we're talking about Worf and I mean, even Dax was starting to seem stressed and bitchy, actually, yeah, which she doesn't usually get like that, but the aggression was just amazing from her.
That's what happens when you've been trapped in a cave with a bunch of...
I want to sleep. Shut up.
I just want to sleep. Just give me like 2 hours. That's all I'm asking.
I'm in 2 hours. Just 30 minutes of you two not staring at each other.
I know.
Shut up.
It's like having a newborn. You know, I just want to sleep. Oh, my God. Just let me sleep just for 5 minutes.
It's like having roommates.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So their final decision is after they get off the planet on the runabout, they decide that they're just going to beam the Sword of Kaelas out in the middle of space, some undisclosed area. So it's sort of like Indiana Jones in the Ark of the Covenant being put into the box in a warehouse and just lost forever. Seems kind of silly and a little nuts that they would actually do that, especially after they've gone so far. I don't understand.
Felt immature more than anything. Because, I mean, realistically, they could have put it back. Well, not even really put it back, but they could have found a different place for it instead of scrambling coordinates and then just teleporting it.
Yeah. And it's an odd ending. I mean, I enjoyed the episode for a lot of different reasons, but it was odd that the Sword of Kaelas just goes floating off into space, and they're like, it's better off there. You know, then why didn't you just leave it? You know, I was like,
Oh well.
I wish more tests had been done on it because I'm really curious as to why people were reacting like that.
Yeah, it did seem to have this like really nutty effect on the Klingons, that they were just so power hungry all of a sudden. Which, like I said, like it did make sense with Worf. You know, Worf didn't seem like the type of guy ever to really want to have that type of power grab. You know, that he thought that he could be emperor seems like just ridiculous.
He spends all his time trying to avoid that type of responsibility. He's not one to. I have been on a vision quest.
He doesn't even want his son around because he doesn't want that responsibility. That's too much work for me.
I don't want him tainted by my honor. In reality, it's I don't want to deal with it.
I just want to deal with the kid.
I just can't do it. All the nope.
Right, right. So that's where we kind of leave the sort of KLS, because it's floating off in space, and that's how the episode kind of like wraps up as well. Not a bad episode, but still leaves me scratching my head on Klingons again, like how that could even be. I don't know. How that could even be a thing, you know, how they could just leave that out there. And how, like, you know, I would even think if I was Core, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to remember this coordinates, I'm going to come back to it, or at least, you know the general vicinity where we're at. So, but there you go. So there's the sort of KLS.
You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me?
Of us, of what might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart of my day. The soul in my mind.
We lost two more relays. I can't.
Shut up, kid.
And today on our fail, we have
Grilka.
A newcomer.
Yeah, we have Quark and Grilka. Unfortunately, Quark failed.
As he was discussing her finances and getting her all ready and excited about being able to overthrow her brother-in-law, he quietly slides his hand on her thigh.
And Grilka makes it quite painfully obvious that if he doesn't take his hand off her thigh, she will break every bone in his body.
He won't have a hand to use anymore.
And Quark, of course, he seems to have had this experience more than once in his life. And he kind of makes a joke and laughs it off, and then he's like, let's go to the High Council with this information. But
I got my hand on your thigh.
Yeah, but, you know, it's, you know, Quark, you know, you kind of, like, would hope that Quark would get a little sexy results because he was married.
He was married, and he was doing all this work to help out her family.
You know, it's like, come on.
But the only thing he got was a kiss, and that was after the divorce.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was almost only to soothe the slap he got.
Yeah.
Whenever she divorced him.
Do Klingons kiss?
Usually Klingons bite.
Okay.
I
mean, I know Worf kisses because he kind of like realizes that what humans usually like.
Well, he's also raised by humans. I'm sure he saw his parents kiss a whole bunch. So.
Right.
Sometimes but, it's better to be gentle.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, you know, Klingon women are vicious.
Yeah, they're pretty rough.
But, you know, next time we'll actually hear about how vicious the Klingon lovemaking can be. And that'll be on next week's episode. Actually, speaking of that, this will be coming out on a regular Sunday. And the next Klingon Part 4 will hopefully be wrapping things up. Will be coming out 2 weeks from the date this comes out.
Right. We had it's more of a hosting issue with our data plan for this podcast. It's one of those things that to rent the space and everything, it's cost more money if you're going to put up more episodes, and unfortunately we've put up quite a few episodes as of late.
And our episodes typically run longer than an hour, and it's something like, you know, I really wanted to bring you guys stuff that we're not really censoring ourselves. We're not, like, trying to make it be exactly an hour, because that, to me, would take the fun out of it.
Sure.
And we're here to have fun. And I hope that you guys think that it's fun, and it's fun for all you who listen to it. And that's our goal, is to have fun and to make it fun for you guys. So some of our episodes do run, you know, longer than an hour. And it's just, it takes up more space. And
we don't ask for money or anything. But if there was ever a time that you might want to think that you had a little extra pocket change, or you thought maybe you could donate something, you know, you definitely let us know. We've been discussing maybe putting some something in figure for donation in the future, but that's not right now. We haven't done that yet. The other thing is too is, you know, if you have friends who are you know, Star Trek fans, sci-fi fans, they think or might want just a good laugh about Star Trek,
or just fans of humor,
yeah, or dirty jokes.
that's it.
You know, let them know that the podcast exists and that it's around. I mean, it's like word of mouth. It's you can do a lot for us just by telling a friend or somebody you know and say, hey, you know, I listen to Synthaholics. This is a funny show. You should listen to it. I give recommendations to all sorts of podcast people all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that I listen to. If you're like me, you know, you're doing at work, you know, sitting at your desk or whatever you might be doing.
Or on your transit to work and
yeah,
you tell your friends about it, you know, once you're at work.
You're driving, whatever. Yeah, on your commute or something like that. You know, we try to keep it pretty upbeat and fun, and hopefully people appreciate that. So, yeah, share us with anybody you might know. You know, word of mouth goes a long way, too. Don't forget that.
And if you're sitting on a computer while you're, you know, maybe listening to us, just take a couple of minutes, sign into iTunes, and give us a review and a rating.
Yeah.
That'll bump us up in the stats so that people can see us, and that we'll get more listeners just from being more visible on the iTunes podcast store.
Absolutely. And obviously, the more listenership we get, the more stats get, and then there's more possibilities for this podcast to, you know, become more robust, and we don't have to worry about things like this in the future if we have a good listenership.
Yeah, because the goal is definitely to be weekly. I know we've kind of slipped up the last couple of weeks where we've had to put out an episode at the beginning of the month because we just didn't have the space to put it up there. So instead of doing that, we're letting you guys know ahead of time. This episode will be out Sunday. Nothing the following Sunday, but we'll follow up the last Sunday of the month, or the whatever Sunday is that it's after that, with part four, just so we can still be as regular as possible.
Right, exactly. So
this lets you guys know why we're a little late on everything. So
yeah, I mean, we did some of our the interviews for the Captain Pike, and that put us over our data plan as well. But you know, that was cool because, you know, that got funded, and we're going to see that, and that's going to be something cool, and you know. In our small way.
Yeah, we got to help out this project, and we're super happy about it and proud of it that we got to, and grateful for the opportunity to get to speak with Todd Chante three times, Walter Doty twice, and Walter Koenig once, and that was an amazing opportunity.
It's really amazing.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's so hopefully we're going to continue doing that. We want to get, you know, obviously more people of the Star Trek community involved with our podcast, too. I mean, Dave's always hustling to find somebody that might be interested in coming on the show. So, you know, we've had guys from Warp 11. We had Star Trek Timelines. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot there that we... And we're just going to still explore doing that. I mean, and still be, you know, our goofy, lovable selves.
Yes, because having fun is where we're at. And making people laugh, because I've listened to a bunch of Star Trek podcasts, and I don't think any of them are at the level where they're shooting for humor as high as we are.
Well, not as goofy as us, at least.
not as crazy as we are.
Yeah, and let's face
it. We're certifiable.
Yeah.
In the best kind of way.
And let's face it, if it's not fun, then why even do it? So let's, you know, like I said, if you know somebody who might be interested, if you know friends that are into this kind of genre, or like to listen to podcasts that won't be offended easily, you know, send them over our way, and we'll try to, you know, have another, you know, another fan. And this is what we want. We want people to enjoy Star Trek with us, because this is part of our lives and we love it so much.
Yeah, yeah, share it on Facebook. Join our Facebook group if you're not already part of it. It's facebook.com/groupset/synthaholics.
Yeah, and we're all pretty active on it. We make our little we have some goofballs.
Some great discussions.
We have some fun on that page, so don't be shy. If you're on Facebook, come find us, and one of the admins will let you in as soon as we see you send a request.
Right, right. Gotcha.
Well, that wraps up for Klingons Part 3. We've got at least one more Klingon episode coming.
Sorry, guys. I thought we'd wrap it up, but there's just too many Klingons.
And there's so much. I mean, their culture is just so crazy, and it just contradicts each other a little bit each time. Yeah. And there's a lot to it, and it's really interesting. And we teach you guys so long, we're making sure you're getting lots of Klingon.
Yes. Yeah. This way,
you get all of the picture.
Yes.
All of it, as much as we can give you. And of course, we'll go back and delve into these episodes. Just one by themselves, like we've done before with some episodes, and give a really deep overview on them. But we're just trying to do broad strokes of Klingon culture, and it's still taking us a really long time. So thank you so much, you guys, for listening and bearing with us during this
Klingon birth.
Live long and prosper, everybody. Thank you all for listening. All my music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Permanent user error.
Permanent? How permanent to be talking, yes.
Okay. Now I can hear you guys.
You can? Aaron, can you hear us?
I hear everybody.
You do?
I hear all.
All? Some?
Things.
I hear all things.
All the things.
The things I have heard, I cannot unhear.
In this group? Of course. We wish to sometimes, I know. But that's not going to happen.
My freaking ears.